Emotional intelligence is more valuable than charisma. Sometimes silence is more valuable than empty words. Think before you speak and communicate with intent.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_Beeble. Check out our Instagram page as well at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Go check that out over there. Jeff and Elliot doing a great job of putting up the Instagram posts, so check that out, follow it along. And like the posts, you know how Instagram works. I don't really know how Instagram works all that well. I'm old. I'm too old for the old IG. And that made me sound even older. But what we're going to be doing today is looking at auction drafts. The next 2 days' podcasts are going to be devoted to auction drafts. It is the superior way of playing fantasy basketball. I'm going to go through and explain that to you in today's show. Michael Bolton, he wants to do an auction.
Let's get to it.
Great idea. So let's talk auction drafts. Why is it superior? I guess the first thing we need to talk about is it's fairer. It gives you an opportunity to grab whatever player you want, provided you're willing to spend that money. It's not a luck of the draw situation. That there's no luck involved as to, you know, what position you are picking in the draft, whether that's to do with your performance the year before, a random drawing, how many beers you knocked down in an hour before you started the draft, whatever the situation is, there's no luck assigned to how you get your players. It also is a much more skillful way of drafting. You can't go into an auction and luck your way out of it with a good team. If you don't know what you're doing, you will get your pants pulled down. It is pretty straightforward. If you are in an auction draft with people who don't know what they're doing, you will kick their ass and you will kick it real hard, I can assure you. If you know what you're doing, it is the easiest way to clean up in a fantasy situation. The negatives of it is it takes longer. You have to be prepared. You can't go into it when it comes to your pick, oh, he's still left in the queue, who am I going to take? You can't do that. You have to have an idea of what you're doing. And if you don't, again, you will get your ass kicked. It's pretty straightforward. So let's go through some strategies, some tips, some ideas, some thoughts regarding auction drafts. Tomorrow going to be doing an auction mock draft with some fantasy basketball writers, some Basketball Monster members as well, joining in there. So a mix of different people and going through some strategies and seeing how that all plays out on the podcast. So make sure you are tuning into tomorrow's show to check that out. With all fantasy leagues, it is imperative that you know your settings, no more so than in auction leagues. And the reason that's important is you need to be able to make a plan in an auction league. So what settings am I talking about? First of all, are you playing head-to-head or roto? That's or points leagues for that matter. You know, what's your setting? Is it dynasty? Is it keeper? Is it redraft? And people will often ask me questions, Josh, where should I draft this guy in a keeper? Should I hold on to this guy in a keeper? There's so many different scenarios, because if you're in a keeper league that keeps two players, it's a much different scenario versus a keeper league that keeps nine players. So you do have to pay attention to how all those factors work. Like if you're in a keeper league that keeps two players, that means that, you know, in theory, there's going to be 24 guys there's going to be 24 guys who get kept in a standard, I'm going off the auction path here, 24 guys kept in a standard type of format. So what you want to do is you'd want to try and get the best value. If you've got the blue arrow, Jamal Murray is a 13th round player, and you lose your 13th round pick, but you only keep two keepers, and you've got Giannis as well, but Giannis was a first round pick, I believe that you go in there and you take Jamal Murray with that situation, because that means, say everyone else keeps their top two players, then when you have that pick, you might be able to get Giannis at that pick. Now, there's ways of debating it, but I'm always looking in that sort of a scenario. You know, can I get a real lot of value? Can I get 10, 8, 9, 11 rounds of value out of a player? That's the possibility I'm looking at. But if you go deeper types, if you've got 8, 9 keepers, then you want to be keeping that the top level of players that you've got. There's a lot of variation involved in it. But sometimes if you've only got one keeper and you don't have that 10 rounds of value, you want to be I picked Giannis in the first round last year. Maybe I'll take him again this year, because I've got no other value anywhere else. So there are lots of different scenarios, and it is really important to get all that information out there. Now, I'm diverting from talking auctions here, but it's important to know your settings. How many teams are in your league? How many players are on each roster? How many active players do you have? Is it a 13-man roster with 10 active slots? Have you got 15 roster spots with 7 active slots? Is there 12 teams? Is there 20 teams? All these things are very important to know, because in auction, more so than snake, it changes everything around. Because say you've got, and we'll use the standard auction amount is $200. That's what every team has. Some you can do 100. We did a dynasty auction the other day that had a $100 budget per team. If you have 12 teams with $200, that means you've got $2,400 overall amount of money in the pot for players to be bought with. You add 14 teams in there, you've now got $2,800 for everyone to bid on guys with. And invariably, that extra $400 that comes in from those extra two teams gets spent on the top 30, 40 players. So there's an inflation value there. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden, you might have in that scenario where it's 12 teams going to 14. In 12 teams, you might have 40 players, 30 players who are $1 guys. Yeah, that might be the case. If you go to 14 teams, which is an additional 26 overall players being rostered, that $31 players may very much go to $51 players. And that means that there, only 6 extra guys get bidded up more than a dollar. So there's way more cash to go around in other areas. So it changes the valuations of guys. And we do all this over on Basketball Monster as well. You can see the auction values get generated by your league settings. It's also important to know, what are you looking at in terms of how do you have a history with your league? How are guys going to bid? Are people going to go real hard and end up with 5 $1 players on their team? Or are they going to be looking at 1 or 2 $1 guys? Because that's a setting you can put in. The more $1 players that are available or that get bid on in the league for $1, the bigger the price of the top end guys. In general, I like to look at on average about 3 $1 players per team, so 35 to 36 guys go for a dollar. But if you've got an aggressive league where people are going to be going real hard on, I want to get KD and Steph on my team together, you might have 40, 45 $1 guys. You might have only the top 100 players get bid on for more than a dollar, and the last 50 go for $1. And that changes the valuation. So having an idea, do you know these guys? What are they going to do? If you don't, you look at about 35 to 36, I would say is a good estimation. Maybe do all your bench spots, look at it as dollar guys. Maybe go 1 or 2 over there. That's a good way to set that up. So that's important to know, because the more teams are in there, the more dollars are around, but the more they get pushed up into that pointy end of the draft. The next point I've got here says, know your AAP, and AAP is average auction price. So that will be on your draft software, ESPN, Fantrax, Yahoo. What are these players on average being auctioned at? What is the site projecting them to be auctioned at? So you can know what the price of these guys is. And it ties in with my next point, which is make a plan. So you can go in and you can check all this on Basketball Monster. Have a look at which players seem undervalued or overvalued. When you go in and have a look at the potential dollars of these guys, who is likely to be too expensive for what you value them at, or what we value them at on Basketball Monster? Which one of these guys is likely to be going too high? So I can look at this from example here, have a look at it, and say the average auction price of LeBron James on Yahoo at the moment is $71. I have him valued based on our settings at about $50. So I think that's going too high. But there are other guys that you can look at that are going too low in terms of their price. Kevin Love's average auction price is $28. I think he's closer to a $40 player. So what you want to do, you've got $200 in your team. And of course, you can check all these average dollars and projected dollar values on Basketball Monster and on your site software. I've got $200 to spend. I've got 13 players. We'll keep it simple. 12-team, 13-man league. Let's say that we go for 2 $1 guys, which is generally the way I want to go, for 2 rotating waiver type spots. Maybe you go for 3, but I, in general, we'll talk about this later, I'd like to go for a more balanced approach. So I've got $200 there, and I'd say I've got 2 $1 guys. So 198 guys with 11 roster spots. So what you want to do is you want to have a look and see how much exactly. How much does that leave you per player? That's $18 per player. 11 spots, $198. $18 per player. Now, of course, you're probably not going to spend $18 per player, but you're looking to get some value there. So what you want to do is you want to come in and you have a look and you can see the differences highlighted on Basketball Monster with greens. So a guy like Jim Butler, for example, who, yeah, maybe he gets traded. Who knows what happens in Minnesota, but his average auction price is $33 on Yahoo. I think there's a lot of value there. So if I've got him valued as a $46 guy, Yahoo's got him valued at a $33 guy, I can come in. And what I would like to do is I'd like to try and build a team, you know, whatever team that is I'm building, build it and base it on what the average Yahoo price is. What I also like to do is build it $10 cheaper. So say I've got my theoretical $198 because I've got two $1 guys. I'd like to try and build an 11-man roster for $188 based on their average or projected Yahoo prices. And in general, a successful auction to me is when I look at their actual value based on the projections that my team comes out valued at. Instead of a $200 team, they come out as a $280 team, a $270 team, shit, hopefully a $300 team. That's when you've got that extra value in. So I look at Butler and I go, well, when he comes up, he looks undervalued to me. So he's got a value of 46. He's got an average of 33. I've got a $13 window there. So where do I go? Do I take him at 35? That's a bargain. Does he go to 38? I'm still in real value territory there. And that's why that $10 buffer to me is important, because if I've got Butler projected as a $33 guy and I've just got $13 of wiggle room here between what his actual value and his price is, and he goes up to 38 or 39, that's $6 over what I budgeted for him. But I've got a $10 buffer budget. So then that gives me that, you know, I've got $4 left. But then there might be another guy that I look at. I can go down the list here and I can look at someone like Jeff Teague.
My name is Jeff.
There's rumblings, incorrect rumblings from Kevin Garnett. Or Derrick Rose should be the starting point guard. KG, just stick to sticking your hoodie on one side of your head. Just stick to that instead of evaluating who should be a starting point guard for a team. All right, so there's that sort of bullshit out there. But Teague has got an average of 12. I've got a value on him at $18. If Jeff Teague comes in and I can get him at $8, I've got $4 back there. So I went $6 over with Butler and I just grabbed $4 back from Teague. So I'm back to a buffer of $10. And having that buffer and knowing that buffer, have a scratch pad next to you when you draft, understanding what that buffer is that you have is very important. I am a big proponent of planning how an auction looks, but multiple plans. I'm going in with a punt build of this. Here is a punt points team that I'm looking at. But it's also, I want to get this guy, but also at this price point, I've got four options. At this next price point, I've got four options. At this position, I've got four options. And if I get this guy here, I have to spend an extra $4. That means I have to go into this direction. It's basically a decision tree that I'm looking at. Here are a couple of guys I'd like to start with under this build. And people go, Josh, shouldn't you not be planning before a draft? Because what if someone comes in and you look at Harden and he's got an average price of 76 and you've got him valued at 72, but what if he only goes for $60? Well, if he only goes for $60, then you jump on it. And you can arrange it, but having flexibility, understanding how the projections, the draft tracker, your preparation works is very important. That's why it's important to have multiple plans. Have a plan for multiple different ways to do it. But again, the way that I like to do it is I don't really concentrate too much on those top end guys in auctions, the top 10, top 12 guys, because they will almost always go too high. There'll be one of that top 12 that goes low. And everyone will go, man, how did Russ only go for $40? But when you see that happening, you throw a bid on him. You throw that bid there and you can rejig what you need to do with your overall plan. But having that plan, having a decision tree, having multiple options at each price point and each position listed down based on who you think is a value guy is really important. The other list I think you should be doing, who's overvalued? Who don't you want anything to do with? Who is priced way too high for you? Kemba Walker has an average price of $46. I have him as a $28 guy. My first nomination comes up. Kemba, you can go out because I don't want to spend that much. And if I can get $46 out of that $2,400 price pool straight away, I will do it. The other guys that I will throw out early, I don't want a pointy end guy. Anthony Davis, you are the first out there because the more money that comes off the overall total pool that's out there, the less money that other people can bid. And ideally, and this is going to be a problem for me in tomorrow's mock draft, I know, because Kyle McEwen's in it, he's going to do a similar thing and we're going to end up with a lot of money left. And he could go 30 picks in an auction before I even grab someone. I don't panic about that, but there is a line of don't push it too far or else you'll be screwed. You want to throw these higher dollar guys out there as much as possible. Get all that money off the board. If someone goes and takes Anthony Davis for $75, they've only got $125 left for the next 12 guys. All right, that's you know, a big difference. $125 for 12 guys is an average of $10 per player, not $18 per player. So if they come in and they're spending 11 on a guy and you want him for 14, you can outbid them and you can win that player. I think that's an important way to look at it as well. So know those average auction prices and then you can help develop to make a plan. As you can see on my other 2 points there, throw those big high dollar guys out early. Get the money off the board. That is a key thing. Get the money off the board and get the overrated players off the board. Now, that overrated player might be someone like Kyle Kuzma, the future MVP, who is probably going to go at a higher price than what you would be willing to pay. The Donovan Mitchell, maybe it's him. Maybe it's Jason Tatum. Now, I like Donovan Mitchell, obviously. I like Tatum, but I think he's going at an auction price of 16. That's about where he needs to be. It's not too egregiously high. Klay Thompson, for example, though, is going at $29. I think he's a $15 to $20 guy at best. Get him out there. If someone takes Anthony Davis and they're down to 125, and then you throw him out there and they take Klay at $30, they're down to $90. Or $95 for 11 players. And that's really key. And that hamstrings them. And then they're going to be left picking up, you know, Kelly Olynyk or the blue swimmer Alan Crabb. And they all might be great. But then if they lose one of those top guys, if you lose Anthony Davis, forget it. Your team's, you're done. And that's, I'll talk about that in a sec. But that is why I like getting the overrated guys. Money off the board is the key. Money off the board is what you want. Now, whether that's high price guys or overrated guys who you're not going to want anything to do with, who you think the general population is significantly overrating, they're the guys that you want off the board early. Get those guys out there. It's important to also look at the auction values in terms of how you're looking at punting. We talk about all the time, and I spoke about this with Matt last week on the Centers Tiers podcast. Getting efficient centers who block shots and have a good free throw percentage is basically impossible. Centers are going to go off the board quickly. Why not punt blocks? Change your valuation of these guys very much so. And then you'll see a ton of value arise. You'll see guys get real green in terms of their, you know, value versus projection versus Yahoo average. But what you'll also see in that scenario, because then you do still need to deal with your field goal percentage and your rebounds, is the value of those guys go down. So be prepared to spend up to the average price on those guys. Even, you know, I'll bring this up, you know, on my screen here in front of me so I can have a look at it. If I go in and punt blocks, it's going to change the value of a lot of these big men quite a bit, but I still need to get rebounds. I still need to get field goal percentage. So if I have a look at someone like, let's have a look at a good name, like say Marc Gasol, for example, who is a $24 average auction guy on Yahoo, but now comes down to 17 if I take away his blocks value. But I still need to get some rebounds. Maybe he's not the best. Marcus Aldridge is a better example. Yeah, $24 average auction guy. His value comes down to $16 in a punt block build. But I still need rebounds. I still need field goal percentage. So you know, it's important that I can spend up and get that extra money. Now, in a overall value type of scenario for LaMarcus, he's worth a $22 player and Yahoo's got him at 24. So even though in a punt block scenario, he goes down to a $16 guy, I'd be happy to get him at that 22, 23 because I need the big man numbers. And that's exactly what I'd be looking at with LaMarcus Aldridge in that scenario and getting those other guys. But you'll see a lot of green develop for these other players. But get money off the board. That is one of the key things in an auction draft. Price enforcement. What does that mean? Well, that means when someone's going too low, when Kawhi Leonard is out there with or Kevin Durant's out there with an average auction of 72, a projected value of 60, and he's sitting at 51 and it's at going twice, 55, throw it out there. And people will be like, or you throw that shady comment out there. Hey, what? This is too low. Put a bid on and then get the bidding up and then drop out. Now, it is a risky game. Because what if you get left with someone? Now, you could look at someone who you really don't like and you go, Dwight Howard, I'm not punting free throws. I'll throw him out. Let's get some money off the board. Dwight, okay, let's bid him up. He's worth 10 bucks to someone. And then you're left with him and you go, oh, shit, I've wasted 10 bucks and he doesn't fit what I do on my team. So I'm never bidding guys right up to their dollar value. I want to try and go hard on the bids in terms of speed on them. I'll go like aggressive to show the other person that I mean business. Yeah, you bid five, bang, bid six, seven, eight, nine, and bid, and get them to go, well, he's not giving up. Because, you know, there is a mentality, there's a psychology to it, and I believe if you see that the clocker going once, going twice, and then you push bid, it's like, oh, do I want, do I not? But then, of course, you can play that to your advantage. You can also do that the other way around and use it like people might think that of you. Is this guy actually wanting to go there? He's almost out of the bidding. Let's maybe push that button, and that gets other people thinking, oh, maybe he's not as keen on this guy. He is, you know, maybe almost bid out, and you can just keep going that way. So there are lots of different ways to do it, but price enforcement is key. Getting more cash off the board, but doing it carefully. Screwing yourself over is risky. I'd rather lean on the fact of letting a guy go for $4 cheaper than spending $60 on a guy I didn't want, and that's going to screw up everything that I'm looking at. So it is important to get out there. It's also, I also don't mind, and people might say this is not a good idea, I don't mind the idea of, you know, throwing it out there in the draft chat room if you're doing a live auction, which, by the way, live auctions, absolutely 100% the best way to do a fantasy draft. If you can get all your mates together, do it in a room, get an auctioneer, get whatever to come in and do it, have food and do the auction. Then you can actually be reading people's faces, bluffing in real time. Like it's like you're playing poker and you're all there. It is absolutely 100% the best way. It's impossible to do for most people, but if you've got a good group of mates or all live close, do it. Best way to do it. But what you want to do is you do want to be looking at you know, enforcing that price and getting as much cash off the board as you can. But it is a pretty fine line to walk in terms of getting that done. Now, the $1 spots, as I mentioned, I look for about two on my team there, that the waiver churn type of guys. I can understand going, you know, for three, but I want, you know, two, minimum one on my team of those $1 spots. Just so you've got that that guy that you take a flyer on at the end. Even in some situations, I will come out of auction sometimes with $0 $1 guys, because, you know, I've got a real strong core here of my highest ranked guy being 25th and my lowest ranked guy being 75th. Now, it gives me limited flexibility in that scenario of being able to churn these guys through for streaming and that sort of thing, which, again, there are ways to minimize the impact of streaming with games limits, acquisition limits, all that sort of stuff. Injuries are going to happen, players are going to be dropped. But, you know, a lot of the time, I'd rather have 13 guys in the top 75 than have three guys in the top 50 and everyone else outside the top 100. So if my option is, hey, I can get 13 guys in the top 75, but it means sacrificing having a $1 spot on my roster, I'll do it. And then maybe I can, you know, package two of those guys for a higher ranked player in a 2-for-1 and then open up a streaming spot that way. There are lots of ways around it. And when you look at your roster after the draft, you don't go, well, this is my roster for the rest of the year. Oh, now I can't stream ever again, because that's clearly bullshit. And that will obviously change as the season progresses. Stars and scrubs and balanced roster. Stars and scrubs, if you don't know what it means you go in there and you go, I'm getting Anthony Davis, I'm getting Karl Anthony Towns, and I am spending $140 of my budget, and then I'm using $60 for my last 11 spots for an average of $6, $5 per player. I might even go Davis, I might go Towns, and I might come in and throw $40 on Kyrie Irving and have three guys there and fill out the other 10 spots with $1 or $2 guys. Hate it. I hate this option. And you can say, oh, you know, the talent is what wins out and you can find waiver wire gems. It's not true. I tell you why it's not true, because the difference in value of these guys, of these top end guys, is huge. If Anthony Davis misses 20 games, your season is over. It's done. You have got absolutely no flexibility in anything that you do. If when he misses a game, you cannot make that up by having Larry Nance Jr. and the Rooster Danilo Gallinari with their $1 salaries. You're just not going to be able to make that up. These guys cost way more than what their overall value ends up being, I believe, a lot of cases, just in terms of roster building. And it just really does leave you on a fine line in terms of having success in a league based on an auction draft, just because the margin for error is so, so slim. I don't think I've really ever seen it pull off when people have gone, let's get Davis and Harden and figure it out with the rest of the guys. Because I tell you what else happens is invariably, those guys are the first 10 off the board. And then you're waiting around, and every player that you come in for and you can bid $5 for, everyone else can go, I'll have them for $7. And you can't outbid these other guys. And even if you then grab a third guy, you literally then have to get whatever the bullshit is left at the end of the draft. You just have to get that. Okay, so now my team is Anthony Davis, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Andrew Wiggins, Kelly Olynyk, Montrezl Harrell. Like, you don't actually get other options. You can't outbid for any. Oh, this guy, look at this guy. Oh, he's only gone for $3. I can get this guy. Cool. And then someone just goes, well, I'll have him for $4 and you can't afford it. So it really, really does hamstring you. So it's the opposite to me of, you know, throwing the big names out there early. I throw the big names out there early to get money off the board. But if you're going stars and scrubs, you're the person who's taking money off the board. And to me, that's counterproductive and counterintuitive. I love the balanced approach. We'll see how it goes tomorrow. Maybe it'll be different tomorrow. But very rarely do I come out of an auction draft with a top 10 player. Frequently, I come out with about 7 top 50 guys, 8 top 50 guys. And maybe the best ranked of those guys is Eric Bledsoe. Maybe it's Bradley Beal is the best ranked of those players. I'll have a couple of $20 guys, a couple of $15 guys, and then a bunch of $7, $8, $9, $12 guys. Now, it is going to be harder in tomorrow's draft with a lot of people who pay tons of attention to fantasy basketball and are auction experts. You know, Kyle McEwen's in there, Greg Ehrenberg's in there. There's a bunch of other guys in there as well that I can't think. Mike Barner from RotoWire is in. There's a bunch of other guys in there, and I wish I had the list off the top of my head. It's going to be hard to do. It's going to be hard to get these names out there and try and work my value strategy. If your league is deep, anything deeper than a standard 12-team, 156 league player league, you almost have to go this route. If you are in a 20-team auction league, don't even worry about getting one of the top guys. They're going to go for so much. You can come in there and get 13 guys in the top 80. And in a league that goes 20 teams deep, you're talking 360 players rostered, you will win by that far every single week. It's not even funny. Because the deeper you go, the shitter the $1 players become. Instead of the $1 players being Kelly Olynyk, and I'm sorry to pick on Kelly Olynyk because I like Kelly Olynyk, Damari Carroll, the $1 guys become Ian Clark. They become Chandler Parsons. They become Noah Vonleh. You know, shit players. They become the Muppet John Henson. They become Doug McDirt. So, yeah, Anthony Davis and Doug McDirt, or do I have Eric Bledsoe and Bradley Beal? That's the way that I look at that in deeper formats. So the balanced approach is exactly the way that I want to look at it when I'm drafting. And if it goes more than 12 teams, 156 players, I'm pretty sure you're not going to have success unless there's a lot of other factors involved. You need to go that balanced route. That's how I approach it. It's not as fun, people might say. Oh, but it's fun to have a big name guy. You can have Anthony Davis. And what when he goes for a big trade? That's great. You know what's funner to me? Winning. That's just how winning's fun. I'd rather win than lose by Anthony Davis putting up 35 and 12. Who can I throw out there as a name I'm going to pick on here? And Kent Bazemore going for 9 points and 4 rebounds. I'd rather win, personally. That's fun to me. And I understand the appeal. We play because we like our favorite players. That's fine, but I actually don't care. Maybe because I'm in so many different leagues and eventually I'll have these guys in many different scenarios and try and diversify which players I have. But for me, a successful auction strategy is not stars and scrubs. It's going balanced. It's getting the value guys and it's coming into a draft with a set plan. But that plan has to be flexible. You've got to have alternatives. You've got to have ways to go. You've got to make a decision tree. You've got to write it all out. You've got to plan it in advance. It takes time for these drafts to actually be executed. It takes time to plan them. If this goes to this plan, I will spend $190. I've got a $10 buffer. Sweet. And then as you go on, look at what your buffer is. If you've got a guy that you've got written down there as a $35 guy and you get him for $25, you've got an extra $10 in your buffer. And then you go, well, look at this then. I had got, as a center I was after, I had LaMarcus Aldridge down there and I was willing to spend $25 on him, but I've got an extra $10 I can spend now. So I can either spend up on him for $35, which probably isn't worth it, but maybe I can go and get another big man or get someone else at that $35 mark. Can I come in and get Rudy Gobert if I'm willing to punt free throws? Joel Embiid's price is a $41 guy. Can I use my $15 of my $20 buffer to get Embiid over Aldridge because I saved $10 somewhere else? They're the sort of plans you need to make out and be able to recognize the flexibility early on where you can look at it and go, well, shit, I've got this sorted now. I've saved money here. where can I spend it? No point coming out of an auction with $180 spent only. Spend your money. You can still win by doing that. You don't have to spend $200 on the dot. You can come out with $194 and still win easily. It's not a death knell at all. But if you can upgrade yourself from Donovan Mitchell at $40 as he was part of your plan and you've got that extra money, you can upgrade it and get Damian Lillard at 51, do it, even though that's sort of against my, don't go for the pointy end guys. Guys that I do like, as I said, Kevin Love, Jim Butler, they're not even priced as in the stars category. They're priced as like guys in the 20s. And they're guys that look like really solid foundations for a cheap auction type of build. Eric Bledsoe, another guy who comes in there at a pretty cheap auction price in that type of situation. Chrissy Dunn, I think, comes in with a ton of value as well. These are real. He's got a $6 auction price average on Yahoo. And I've got him as a $19 guy. Like, that's a ton of value. And that's you build you up. So when you look at your team analysis, your team should be worth $250, $260, ideally. More competitive leagues, maybe it's $230, but you want to get that extra value. Guys, that'll wrap it up for me talking about auction tips. The next podcast you're going to see or hear from me is doing an auction mock. So hopefully you can see some of these plans in action. But auctions can go to shit so quickly. So be prepared for the shit to go completely wrong. It's going to be my first auction of the season. We'll see how it all goes. It could turn to shit, but I will try and implement some of these plans that I have showed you. Don't forget, follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble. Subscribe to this show, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube. Give it a thumbs up. Hit subscribe. That'd be great. I want to get these subscription numbers up on YouTube. So go and subscribe if you haven't already. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Jarnell Stokes.